Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family, women, philosophy, politics, history, people, money, pop culture, kids, fighting, business, life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, do you use money to measure your success? How do you know when you're too old for Vegas? And we all know Star Wars fans are nerds, but are they sexist nerds?
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. Jones, I'm sitting here with my mind blown reading about the third guy who started Apple. Did you know there was like a third Beatle, as it were, along with Wozniak, Woz, and Steve Jobs?
I did not. In fact, I really only ever think of Jobs. I always, until I hear the Wozniak name, I always forget about that.
Right. He's like the, you know, the Paul McCartney to John Lennon, Steve Jobs. But apparently there was a lesser known guy at the beginning. Like, so I guess like the Stuart Sutcliffe. Was he, or the Pete Best maybe?
Pete Best.
One of the forgotten Beatles.
The fifth Beatle, yeah.
Well, no, the fifth Beatle was Billy Preston.
Who's Pete Best?
Pete Best was,
oh,
like
was he the
original
drummer.
And
then Ringo Starr replaced him. Why do I always think Pete Best was the fifth Beatle?
Yeah, those bastards like bounced Pete Best like on the eve of like making it. They were like, you know, you're just not going to cut it. You're out.
It happens. Rock's a tough game.
And like my mom, I'm assuming she's reiterating what a rumor or a conspiracy theory about this, you know, was back in the day. But she always claimed that they went with Ringo Starr because he was ugly. like the other two dudes didn't want to have competition, and that maybe Pete Best, in their eyes, was a competition for the ladies.
I've heard that, too. I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that.
It seems hard to believe. If you're Ringo, you got to be like, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't even know. He seems like a pretty chill guy, though.
Yeah, oh, he's just got to be happy to be here, right? Knowing, you know, how lucky did he turn out to be.
Absolutely.
The guy had a horseshoe up his butt, in addition to being ugly.
But now you say that there is another fifth Beatle, that fifth Beatle is in Apple.
That's right. So the third dude who started Apple was this guy named Ronald Wayne. And Phil Rosenthal's column in the Tribune. I got to give it to Rosenthal. Like, he was like the TV critic or something over at the Sun-Times. And then he went over to the Tribune, and his column largely focuses on a lot of business matters. So I don't, like, cite it a lot, but I do read it. And I got to say, the guy digs for stories. He doesn't just sit there and, like, take easy street like, you know, a Neil Steinberg does, or a Mark Brown does, or a John Cass does. I think that Rosenthal is the goods. I used to get in the elevator at the Prudential Building. He'd be going up to see Dahl or something, and he's humongous. And I just look at him like, oh, yeah, you're here to talk about TV with Dahl? Shoot me now if I'm you. But I got to say, the guy is good. He's really good. So this article in the Tribune for this Sunday, he releases them online early or whatever. And he talks about Ronald Wayne. Ronald Wayne apparently had a 10% stake in Apple when it began. Like, he's the guy who, like, typed up, like, the manual for the Apple I, like, their very first computer. He's, I guess, the guy in his article. He's the guy that is credited by Woz as being the dude who convinced Woz and Jobs to get together. Like, he was integral in the formation of Apple.
So he had a 10% stake, which would be worth how much now?
Well,
how
right.
How much is his 10%?
So that's
worth?
The lead in the article is that today, his 10% stake, if he had kept it, would be $60 billion, with a B. $60 billion.
If he had kept it.
Yeah, but he did not keep it.
Okay. Like, and when did he get rid of it?
Apparently, like, very early on, like 2 weeks into Apple, he sold it for $800. $800, and then, like, he they came back to him, and they're like, you know, we need to sign this document to totally wash your hands of any future claims. We're going to give you another $1,500. Is that cool? And so, essentially, for $2,300, he gave up what turned into $60 billion. So the equivalent, this was in 1976, so the equivalent in today's dollars of $9,600.
Oh, my God. I would, if I was Wozniak or Jobs, I would have almost at some point felt like, however many billions they had, like, I'm just going to double back and just cut the guy a $5 million check. Just so he at least give him enough where it's like you'll never have to think about money.
Well, they may have, but this guy may not have taken it. Like, he seems like a pretty principled dude. That's the whole point of this article.
Oh, that would just drive me. I would have a tough time to not allow that level of success that I would have missed out on to drag me through the floor. I would struggle.
Au contraire, because you're measuring success by money. But that's not how Ronald Wayne sees the world. And I'm surprised to hear that that's how you would see the world.
Yeah, but you're talking about, well, no, I don't live my life like that. But if I was looking at a loss of $60 billion.
Yeah, but it's not a loss. It's not a loss. It's not a loss. It's what he gained by giving up his stake. Check this out. This article talks about it, and I don't even know if Rosenthal actually talked to him. He quotes a lot of Ronald Wayne's thoughts on the matter from like a Facebook post that Wayne had put up. Like, he's like 81. He lives out in Pahrumpf, Nevada, which is like relatively near Las Vegas, but it's in the middle of nowhere, Bufu Desert, high plains. In fact, that's where Art Bell did, you know, his crazy UFO show.
Right.
Was in the high plains.
I remember the name.
The high desert of Pahrumpf, Nevada.
Yes, I remember that name, Pahrumpf.
So Wayne says he has no resentment about his decision. Quote, I don't waste my time getting frustrated about things that didn't work out. Actually, he told this to the San Jose Mercury News 6 years ago. I left Apple for reasons that seemed sound to me at the time. Why should I go back and what if myself? If I did, I'd be in a rubber room by now. As he puts it, he even, you know, on Facebook, he said, look, I probably wouldn't have held on to my stake all that long anyway, so maybe I lost, you know, tens of millions of dollars. But then he says, quote, quite honestly, between you and me, it was character building. I mean, like, talk about grounded, dude. So he lives on Social Security out in the desert. He gets by, you know, makes ends meet by selling rare coins and stamps. And he doesn't, like, he's not angry about it at all. At all. As he sees it, because I guess like his thing was like writing the technical manuals and stuff, like he wrote the manual for the Apple One. As he puts it, he saw a future for himself where he would have been, as he says, quote, winding up, heading a large documentation department at the back of the building, shuffling papers for the next 20 years of my life. That was not the future that I saw for myself. So early on, he went, screw it. I can see where this is going. I'm out. I'm cashing out. I'm leaving. And I also, a little bit more of the backstory. I guess he had a little bit more to lose at the time. Like, those two Steves were like, apparently they all worked at Atari, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
That's where they all met. And he convinced the two Steves to work together. Like, you guys are brilliant. Work together, blah, blah, blah. And I'll type up the operating agreement between us, la, la, la. And in fact, the article ends by... by him saying, you know, I do have one tiny regret, and that is I sold the operating agreement that I wrote up for the company for $500 a few years ago. Apparently, whoever bought that from him turned around and sold it for $1.6 million at auction.
God!
So
I mean...
Talk about not being able to win for losing.
And I'm not really a money guy. I am driven by things other than money, but I certainly would take money if it comes my way. And when you're talking about significant sums of cash like that, I don't know how you could stomach that. You would have the freedom to do anything. Like, that would eat at me. Look, right now, even in the last few weeks, I've been waking up each morning with like this little pang of woe.
Oh.
And it, but as soon as I get out of bed, and start moving around, I feel great. And I have nothing to be worried about. And that's why it's almost annoying me more.
Yeah.
Because I'm even going through parts of my week where I'm like, oh, that was a good day. And then I wake up in the morning, I'm like, there's that little like pang of woe again. Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
So to know, to go through something like that, I think that would, I don't know how I couldn't let that devour me.
Yeah, it's not even like he, you know, there was a happy ending because then he went on to, you know, start some firm
that,
like, he lives on Social Security. And, like, it doesn't say, like, oh, his kids are pissed. I'm sure that there are relatives of Ronald Wayne that are like, you son of a bitch! I can't believe you did that, Uncle Ron! But, like, talk about not measuring yourself by dough, which is just the, it's inescapable. Every single one of us, including both of us, we hit our feet hit the ground every morning to go off and do someone else's bidding, to go off and build someone else's dream for them. Now, I'm very happy at this moment in time to be doing that. Grateful, so grateful. But that's just because I came so close to, you know, to being Ron Wayne, living right out in Pahrump, Nevada in a double wide, selling coins. My coin, have you ever seen my coin collection? It sucks. I'd be broke. I'd be given handies at the truck stop.
See, that I think if I'm this guy, that question of, is that all there is, that would be knifing through me. Because right, if it's one thing, you lose out on the money. But then if you didn't make your own mark, even if it's not like this national mark, let's say he went out and then he was the marketing director for some hospital that serves severely ill children or something, then right, you could say, like, this was my mark. Yeah. But to, as far as I can tell, his mark is missing out on things.
Yeah. He's
and
like, yeah, the Costanza.
No,
he's very Costanza
like. Like, yeah, that would be very tough for me to wrestle with. I mean, I'm even going through that where I'm waking up each morning and then was talking to a friend of mine where we were having this discussion where my friend was wrestling with this thought of, is this it?
Is this it? Is this all there is to it? What is the measure of a person? What is your measure? Everyone's measuring themselves by money out where I live. I got to think that's the American way. But at this stage in your life, in your 40s, is this all there is?
I need some of Mr. Wayne's juice.
That's right. That's gross. I'm sure he'd be willing to sell you some.
Right.
And you turn around and make millions.
Right.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
312-957-7210.
Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones and Mike. We were lucky enough to do an interview this week. It was like a 10 questions thing for a radio industry trade publication called All Access. Thanks to Michael Perry Simon. He's one of those three-named guys.
Yes.
Always freaks me out.
You can never really trust that and people with two first names.
I was even thinking about that, yeah. I know people now, like the kids out here in the burbs, they have two last names. So they'll be like Jackson Smith or something. It's like, who do you distrust more? Someone with two last names or someone with two first names like Richard Gregg?
I think the two last names. you trust less.
Yeah, they're definitely they're hiding something, or their parents like have delusions of grandeur. Like, you're gonna be someone special. You're gonna be one of the world leaders. You need like a special name. There's something creepy about that. So but we did this 10 questions thing, and you can see it on the Facebook page. It's on our website, blah blah blah, where we talk about what this show is about. And I think that we both, you know, for as long-winded as we were in that interview, we missed the mark. Really, this to me, the show is about happiness. What makes you happy, and what does it take to become happy? We do this show because it makes us happy. There really is there's no other explanation. There's no one pays us. In fact, it costs money. Why do we pay money to do this? I don't know. Why are we posting this? Who's listening? And then as soon as I go, no one's listening, someone will come up and be like, oh, yeah, I heard you talking about blah, 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 blah. And it weirds me out, honestly.
And I have that happen, too, where it's people that you don't expect. Like one of my tenants, like their father, will come up and like, hey, listen to the show every week. Check it out. Yeah. And what your buddy said about that thing, that was pretty interesting.
That's cool. You know, so when we're on WGN, like, so the phones don't light up at all. It feels like no one's listening. But then people are hating on us on the text computer.
We get some love, too.
We get some love, but then we get some psychopaths who will listen for the full 3 hours, every minute of it. And just be like, you suck. I'm sending a letter to Jimmy DeCastro.
Yeah.
And it's like, good. Yeah, great. I never even met that guy. Like, I give a crap. So... let me know what he says. I have no idea. So why do you do the things that you do? What makes you get out of bed? I'm intrigued by that, because when I talk to people, I get sad about their reasons for getting out of bed in the morning. And again, like, I'm inching down the highway of life in my metal coffin, like Bodhisattva says in Point Break. I happen to really need to do that at the moment. But I get out of bed every morning and I go and I build the dreams of some dudes that I've never met before and never will meet. And so that they become fabulously rich and they do, I don't know, God knows what they do with the dough. And you do that on a different scale, but same diff.
I do. And it's, I've noticed more and more over the last few weeks, and it's been bugging me, because overall things are going fine for me. I have nothing to really be stressed out about, but I've noticed over the last few weeks when I'm waking up in the morning, like I'm getting up earlier and earlier. Like sometimes I'm getting up at 4:35 and it's just like, I'm just up. Now I'm almost to the point where I've now told myself this week, dude, if you get up at 4:30 or 5 and you just know you're like awake, just get out of bed. Get out of bed and go work out. Now your day has started, because it's your body is trying to tell you something, or you have to answer this little pang of woe that you're feeling in the morning. And because the second I get out of bed, it goes away, but it still is annoying the hell out of me, because I can go through a great day and think, you know, normally if you have a good day, you're looking forward to the next day. You should have a solid night of sleep. It should be all positive. But, you know, I think specifically there was a day this week where it was a really simple, even-keel day. I was having a problem with my iPhone. Oh. I went into the Apple store, and the guy was working on the phone, working on my computer, like fixing everything. And I hate those situations, because typically what it is, they work on – I have to say, like, Apple's customer service is fantastic. But most times in most businesses, they work on about 10 to 20% of the problem, and you go, okay, so yeah, that's it. So if you go home, then you can do these 2-3 things. Mm-hmm. You go home and do it, and you're like, it's still not working.
You're like an old woman with this stuff.
I was there. Oh, yeah, says the guy who can never get his own computers to work before the show starts.
Well,
true or false?
Hey, look at this lap of luxury you're sitting in right now. All of this is mine.
Okay.
I fix it all. I don't go running to the genius bar. Only bars I'm going to serve hard drinks for men who want to get drunk fast. Oh, you two pixies out the window or through the door.
Oh, God. Forget it. Anyway. We won't belabor
you. So I go to the Genius Bar, and they fix my device mostly, and it's a great day.
No, this guy waited until the guy spent like forever working on the stuff, making sure that it was right. And he's like, I'm sorry I'm taking so long. But the reverse was like, no, thank you. This is awesome. Like, I appreciate that you're doing it. You're seeing it all the way through. Like, that day, the same day, I got a call. There was a My tenant was getting water through the roof. A guy went out there to look at the roof.
Is this the tenant that loves me?
What?
Is that the tenant that loves me and my insights?
Oh, no. This is another thing.
See?
This is another thing.
Okay.
So,
say, I'll go help him.
No. So the guy goes over there to look at the roof. You're waiting for this big, horrific deal. The guy looks at the roof. He's like, God, it looks like you got a brand new roof here. This is perfect. He goes, this is great. He goes, there's just two little points of entry right here. It's just these two little marks. He's like, it cost you $250.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh, you're kidding. That's great. He's like, yeah, he's like, it's not bad at all up here. He goes, and he said this with no irony, no humor, no pause, waiting to like get my response. He goes, I go to some of these roofs and there could be 23, 24, 25 bullet holes in them. And I have to go around like that. I was like, I was like, wait a minute, what? He's like, oh, yeah. Sometimes people get leaky roofs in the city because of little piercings that are made from stray bullets. He goes, sometimes I've gone up there and I've found 25 bullets on a roof.
Oh, jeez.
So now, it was
just a crazy town.
It was just funny. Like, I had one day in particular where everything was like coming up Milhouse. And then the next morning I wake up and then there's that ping again. And I'm like, what?
Oh my God.
It was driving me bonkers. But then I recall reading an article and now I think I'm in the throes of this. It was in the Atlantic Monthly a couple months back and it was about
midlife crisis.
But yeah, about over a year ago because I think we were talking about it. And all of us, I found the article and I reread it this week. Mm. And then all the things that I was rereading about, I was like, wow, that's it. Where before when I read the article, I'm like, oh, that's interesting stuff to consider. Okay, fine. Then all of a sudden I started rereading, at this time of life, most everybody, or it's fairly common that no matter where you're at financially with your career, your physical goals, whatever it is, there's a feeling of what else is there? There's a feeling of something missing out. Like you're not living in the moment. You're thinking about things that maybe you didn't do in your 30s that you should have done, or you're worried about, oh my God, how am I going to put my kid through school? Whatever it is, you kind of get off balance. And they said the morning time is a big time where this kicks in. People wake up and they feel an anxiety.
And that sounds like it's like a hormonal thing. Like,
well,
you're like this time of life for dudes and for women, your hormones start to dip. And in the morning, your hormones have to be low.
Yes, and that could very well be the case because they were going across the board. They were saying this isn't a men thing, this isn't a male thing or a female thing. And they were citing people inside the article that were talking about, like, my career was great. I was making great money. I was being published in the New Yorker.
I got laid all the time.
And that time period was still a time of woe for them, even though they were hitting all these markers. And I was like, so wait, am I biologically like predisposed?
Yeah, let me help. Predisposed.
Predisposed.
That's fine.
Am I predisposed?
We'll fix that
Are
in
we
post.
All? No, you won't.
No.
We'll all be predisposed to this. It's just so, I've even found myself earlier this week, I saw something like on YouTube where it was like a Tony Robbins thing who I never really listened to, but I saw this thing where it said morning rituals. And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. It was like a 4-minute thing. I clicked on it. And just listening to his voice, he's just so decisive about everything.
It's kind of gravelly.
Bing,
like,
boom.
He's been talking for so long
yes.
to so many people, losing his voice.
I think I would not be surprised if, like, Phil Collins is deaf now.
Yeah.
Tony Robbins will not be able to speak in 10 years.
Oh,
you really,
sweet irony.
You really like listen to his voice throughout time, and he's losing it, man. He's got to be. But anyway, now all week, I'm not even listening to what he's saying, but I've been putting Tony Robbins on when I'm at my apartment because he's so decisive about
really?
Everything. And I don't even know what he's talking about, but it's like, okay, I just like to have this decisive voice rattling around my place. I like to have this decisive voice rattling around inside my head.
Really?
I need to be happier.
See,
there's no bullets on the roof.
This is what I like to put on every morning. It used to be I started off with Eminem. like, you know, if you have one shot.
Oh, yeah. Trying to motivate.
Would you, yeah.
Did you, like, really? Would you really do that?
I'd get motivated. Now, this is what I put on.
When you're about
Ice
to make
Cube,
sweet,
it was a good day.
Love.
Yeah. Just waking up yeah. in the morning.
Yeah. I don't believe this.
I don't know, but
yeah.
today seems
no.
This is you.
No walking from the dog.
No smog. And mama cooked breakfast with no hog.
I got my All right. Bone. I got it.
Dude, that's what I do. I put my bandana on, especially the neighborhoods. Waze has me going through these days. I put my bandana on. I sit low in my front seat of my car. And I listen to Ice Cube.
Okay.
But if you like Tony Robbins, that's fine.
Number one, I don't believe that. Number two, did you really used to wake up in the morning to Eminem? That 8 Mile song, did you?
Yeah, I years ago, probably 10 years ago.
And that would get you going?
Yeah, like, yeah, today's a one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Yeah, wait, what were you doing 10 years ago?
I was like cold calling and stuff, trying to get a syndicated show aired by radio stations, which is just mercilessly unhappy work.
Okay.
Talking to radio people, just the worst. Just the worst.
That is awesome.
This is way, way more uplifting than that.
Yeah, it is.
So, so we talk about, and you coined the phrase, or maybe you stole it, 40s on Wii.
I think we created that. I think we
You did. That's fine. I'm going to give you credit. That's fine. I'll be the Ron Wayne. When you sell that, you know, that copyright for $17 billion, I'll just be with my rare coins and stamps living on Social Security in Pahrump, Nevada. And then you'll come and mercifully cut me a check for 5 G's. That 40s on Wii, I've noticed people out here in the burbs are starting to mark time by when their kids, you know, 13 years, when my last one's in college, then I'm going to go do X. Or when my pension kicks in for my teacher's gig, I'm going to go and live in the Caribbean. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like, so literally you're doing something that you probably don't want to do, like teach school children. But because you need that pension, you have to keep doing it every day for the next. And you're literally like a prisoner in a cell, putting an X on the wall.
Yeah.
Every day you get up and you leave. And meanwhile, you're dreaming of being in, you know, St. Martin or something.
Yeah, and see,
the French side. The French side, I think, is the better side of St. Martin.
I couldn't imagine living that life.
Yeah, and I'm not marking time by any. Literally, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other, just trying to make ends meet and pay for all this crap.
But
I'm doing the same thing as them.
I know, and see, that's where I do it somewhat resent when I get those pangs, because it's like, well, no, I'm more than anyone other than you. I know that I'm trying to go down that path where it's like, I've got an idea for something. I'm going with it.
Yeah. And you live in squalor. You live like, you know, a hair. You have
that,
a hair shirt on.
That is not
financially.
True. That is not true.
So, you know, you are a man of minimal needs and wants. So what do you want? What the hell do you want, Jones?
Well, I it's not even like I want. I even feel the need to answer that question now. I feel like my frustration is of like being able to live in the moment.
Yeah.
Used to. Even I was just thinking, like, as I was going through this week, just all these little steps, these little markers where, God, 10 years ago when I was going to play hockey, I wouldn't be thinking to myself, well, what time am I going to get home so I can get up in the morning so I'm ready for work and I can go do these things. I was just thinking to myself, like, the mornings I woke up where I had a hockey game, I was like, this is going to be an awesome day. Great.
Yeah. That's
or
right.
Even if I found out from someone like, hey, I got free tickets to go to this game.
You were like this, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely. Definitely. And I would be yelling dominoes like a mofo.
Right. Because you had this thing to distract yourself with playing athletics. And that's you're hitting on what I've noticed people do. They get all wrapped up in politics, or they get all wrapped up in sports, watching sports. In your case, you were wrapped up in playing sports back then. And now we're at this stage where we're like, oh, so this is it? I'm just supposed to get just to drink this political or sports Kool-Aid for the next 40 years? And now what? Now I think that people are at this stage in life where we're at kind of a bit of a mountaintop of some sort where we can see the other side and we're like, shh.
Right.
This is what I was climbing for all these years? This sucks.
See, and I think if as I've examined it this week, I think the one thing that I've noticed that does eat at me is a lack of progress. Like when any of those moments at any point in my life when that happens, I think I've kind of identified that much where I feel like things have gotten stale. And there isn't that next thing that I can move on to whenever. Because even when I'm getting up in the morning now, I have that little pang of ennui. I get out of bed. I start moving right away. Once I start moving, there's like progress, motion, movement. Mm-hmm. It's gone. Mm. And it's one. So I think that maybe if I had to identify and try to break it down, because it's not like I could tell you I want this dollar amount and then everything will be fine. I mean, I could tell you I'd want to do this talk show full time and everything would be fine. Outside of that,
well, here's the
I don't
problem.
Have other markers.
Here's the thing. What we're finding is, and again, this show may suck, it may be absent. Nobody has the heart to tell us. It's fine. It's fine. I wish they would just say it, if that's the truth. But what we're believing is that a lot of people that we're dealing with who we need yeses from, they're kind of in like an ennui arrested development state themselves, where they're just like, yeah, whatever, I'm just clocking in for my 8 hours and I'm looking forward to the weekend or to the next Hawks game or to whatever their distraction is, and there's just no reason for them to take risks, to do new things, to break out of a mold, etc.
I wouldn't say arrested development, but I do say it is a struggle, I think, to find people that believe that other people would want to hear this message.
Well, right. And obviously we're fixating on this particular thing, but who are we talking to? We're talking to people in their 40s and early 50s who are kind of like, they're coasting.
But in general, what people are being fed in any number of channels. And not what they're choosing in terms of podcasts or online material, but what they're being fed is the sports and the politics, which is funny because when we approached this, we never really thought, well, let's do it. We had told everybody, anyone that we would talk to industry-wise or otherwise, we just do a lifestyle talk show.
I think
we
your
don't
burping
really...
is standing in our way. You keep burping on this show. You can't do that.
Dude, what
people
are you talking
are like,
about?
Look,
you
look have all these geezers. Little... These geezers who are these... burping and stuff.
Why? I'm in the middle of making a point, and you interrupt for that when
I'll
you
fix
are
that in
Mr.
Post. Yeah.
Sucking down your words.
That's right. Yeah, I'm gulpy gulps a lot. No question.
Yeah, so the thing I was going to say about Dan's Haster. Anyway.
Continue.
Anyway. And now I don't even know. Now I don't even know. Okay, this is bringing me back a bit.
Guys, Jones up here.
All right, no, I'm good now. So, what I was going to say is that's when we approach doing the show, what we would tell everybody is it's a lifestyle talk show. We'll talk about sports. We'll talk about politics, but it's not the driving force.
There's more to life.
And we're finding out that people are maybe they're in that what's called the U curve. We're at the bottom of the U curve where things feel the roughest. And the people that are around us, our peers that are listening, our peers that are in management, whomever, they may be at that point where they're feeling like, well, no, they're not really looking and asking, you know, what else is there? Because it's a painful question to ask. So they think, well, it must be the sports and the politics, and we're just going to stay in that pocket.
Yeah, and us aside, it's it is
oh,
a
us
very
completely aside.
Yeah, like
this it, is everybody.
Yeah, I
this is how it's manifesting in terms of what we're doing now. But if we weren't doing this, if we were just talking about some business that we were going to try to run, we would be running into some other variation of this expression.
Yeah, and I've even witnessed it firsthand where the great art, the good music, the cutting edge of dot, dot, dot of anything It isn't produced by people who are 47. It's very rare that a Rodney Dangerfield breaks into comedy at the age of 39. That just doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen, I think, because people aren't taking those risks in their 40s and their 50s. Right now, people in their 40s and 50s are playing for the pension or not wanting to make that change. Make that change. They're not wanting to make that change because, oh my God, well, if I make that change, I'll give up all the seniority I'd built up, and they make all these calculations and talk themselves out of taking those steps, those, you know, dangerous steps sometimes, but that's what it takes. Even in this article, this Ron Wayne guy, he stepped away from Apple because he had a house, he had a car, and he's like, man, if this company goes belly up, of course it's incorporated, but, you know, the creditors are going to come after someone. It's going to be me. This Jobs and this Woz guy, they don't have a pot to piss in.
These guys are idiots.
Yeah, these guys are two morons. I gave them 90% of the stake when I typed up the operating agreement, and then I sold that for $500 years later, and it turned into $1.6 million. But be that as it may, I have things to lose, so I'm cashing out for $2,300, the equivalent in today's dollars of $9,600, and that stake turned into $60 billion. So the big risks, the startups, the tech companies, they're being started by people in their 20s for a reason. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why it has to be. Look, and I say that with a wink and a nod because I'm trapped myself. I live in this city. I can live anywhere in the world, anywhere. I live here because my wife's family's here. I love my family, but I could fly in and see them. I've made peace with that. And I think they'd be happy only seeing me every few years anyway.
I think so too.
But my family. And you, you know, Skype, we could do this anywhere. And so I'm like, oh my God, technology has allowed it so that we can be anywhere. We can be in New Zealand. We could be in the outback of Australia. We could be in Africa. I don't know why. Who wants to move there? Sounds like it's an El Ol. But, you know, we could be anywhere. We could be in Chile. We could be anywhere. Why are we here? When it's snowing in April, I'm always like, I don't want to be here. But I'm here because my wife's family's here. So that's it. That's my trap. What's your trap? Is it, oh, I gotta pay off these loans, or I'm carrying credit card debt? It's probably everyone else's trap is probably money related. And that makes me very sad.
So I mean,
want a little Ron Wayne in them.
Yeah,
and having said that, I almost just went belly up and it was very difficult. I almost just went totally broke.
Right, but that's why I would suggest to other people, take those chances. You know, invest in the dream. Invest in Jones and Mike. Let's buy us some airtime.
That's right. That's no. You should not do that.
Selfish bastards. We've been providing this really for almost 3 years now. If anyone goes back to phone calls from Jones days, which
yeah,
I doubt,
yeah.
But we've been providing you
years.
Amazing content.
That's right.
Can we get a dollar out of you? Sons of bitches.
All right, well, so we're going to cheer ourselves up by going to Vegas.
Oh, that's going to even make it worse.
No, people our age,
we're not meant for Vegas.
No, I have evidence to prove otherwise. Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com. And get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Andrew WK never gets depressed. In fact, he has a penchant for being depressed, and that's why he's always talking about partying.
Did you know he was at WGN this, like, in the last week?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was in their studios.
Hopefully they found some water for him. The place is water deficient.
No, they have water there. You just got to know how to look in the right spots.
That's right. You got to go in Jimmy DeCastro's desk. I was thinking that maybe we need to rekindle our youthful spirit by going to Vegas.
That's a bad move.
That was always the place that we could go and just be footloose, fancy free. Back in the good old days when, like, we'd plunk out our $100 to sit at a table, and it was like, man, I only have three of those. So if I better be able to sit here for the whole night.
Yeah, no, that time has passed us by. Vegas is a young man's town. It's not meant for the 40 plus.
No, that's not true. That's not true. And I have evidence to the contrary. Listen to this. This is 2+40s, and I'm being very generous there. Fighting out in Vegas, Vince Neil
and
Nicolas Cage. That's Nicolas Cage shouting. Look at Vince Neil. Okay, he just grabbed him. Nicolas Cage just, oh, Jesus. He just grabbed Vince Neil. Dude. I love you, man. Stop, man.
That's the thing. I saw that video from earlier in the week. Now, that was... there's so many things that I could get into about. First of all, I have to say, Nick Cage does a nice job there.
Yeah, the video is shot like with someone's phone inside like a Bentley, it looks like.
Yeah.
The window goes down, and then you see Vince Neil looking like all bloated and giant and stuff, but looking like a homeless guy. He's dressed like crap, but Nicolas Cage is dressed like you'd expect Nicolas Cage to look like. He's like got like a blue blazer on, a white shirt,
yeah.
And it looks like it's like the middle of the day. This isn't in the middle of the night.
No, it's in the middle of the day, which makes it sadder.
And Nicolas Cage is going ape balls.
Yeah, he is. Now,
and he eventually ends up grabbing. He grabs. Vince Neil approaches him right here.
Ooh. Stop this shit now!
And Cage grabs him, the back of his head. Vince Neil is like his little bitch right now.
He does a good job, though. I love how he gets the back of the head, pulls him in close. He goes with he gets the overhook on the arm.
Yeah.
Like, he really has him locked up. So if Vince tries to go anywhere, he can just throw the leg behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him to the ground.
Like, there's no question.
He does a nice job. But when you go, if you look at the video,
yeah,
as he brings him in, like, first of all, like, you look at his face. Now, these guys, they're hammered at least, if not addled in some other way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just look at Nick Cage's face when he's trying to talk. Like, Jesus!
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Give me my wrench. He says something like that, dude.
But when you get to the end of it, gets a little weird when he gets him. He gets the overhook in. He pulls the head in. And then he kind of starts to lean in. And it looks like, the first time I watched him, like, is he going to kiss him?
Yeah.
Because they kind of get close. And he's kind of leaning his head in almost a way that, like, you know, like a grown, like a father, like maybe like, I love you, son. And gives you like the man kiss on the side. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes that gets done. It looked like, oh my God, is he kind of going in to like kiss Vince Neil? And then as you're watching, is it him or Vince Neil? Someone says, I love you.
Here, I think it's Nicolas Cage. Let's replay it.
Who's not here?
One of them says,
dude, you got eagle ears, man.
I'm telling you.
I love you.
That's why you can't go to Vegas. Old men can't go to Vegas. That is a city, you know, country for no old men. That's a city for no old men. There they were. They thought that they were going to have a great time. All these women, they're these celebrities, and there they are walking around bloated and hammered at 2 in the afternoon.
At the Stratosphere.
Fighting each other.
Yeah.
And then one guy goes to look like he's going in for the kill on his buddy and then tells him he loves him.
That's right. That's right.
My rake!
Give me my wrench.
Get my rake! Is he going to blame him?
I love
him?
You.
He said, someone says,
Jesus. Dude, the TMZ, like boom, boom, boom. I hate that.
It's a
It really ruins it.
But someone says at the end of that, I love you. That, and I watched that and I was like, I know once you get to a certain age, that 40 plus thing, you yeah. think to yourself, you still want to go to Vegas. You still feel like you can do it. And in your mind, you kind of bring, if you watch Ocean's 11, like for the 2001 version with George Clooney, mm-hmm. I think a lot of dudes think, yeah, we're going to do it right. Do Vegas right. Yeah. We're going to get the suit, be walking
Didn't
around.
You have that dream to like have like a high roller weekend?
Oh, I would have loved
to. No, you did do that to a degree a few years ago.
Well, I did a high roller weekend.
Well, don't hold back. Don't hold back.
Not in Vegas.
Where you had like the bottle service and stuff.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah, you know what? I did go out there with friends, but
yeah, listen, it's like an aside. Like that was your main mission.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You called it your high roller weekend.
I did. We stayed at the Bellagio.
I wasn't invited.
You were not invited, but it was a good call.
Oh, and my cargo pants weekend. Wouldn't have been welcome to the bottle service
it
at the clubs
so
you were doing.
It is so weird, though, if you ever try to go do a high roller weekend in Vegas.
No, only Jones
looks,
does that.
It looks so different than regular Vegas. First of all, we stayed at the Bellagio. It's beautiful. When we went in there, we had a penthouse, and there's a whole other.
Oh, anybody can bring a magazine with them.
This was like the real penthouse.
Oh.
Like overlooking the little jet fountain thing.
Really?
And there is a side entrance.
How much did this cost?
That you would, don't worry about it.
Jeez.
There was a side entrance that people wouldn't even normally know.
This
about.
Is why you live like a monk 365 days a year.
So I can go do this.
So every 4 years on leap right. day, you live like a high man.
So
high roller.
There's like a little side entrance that you go into that you don't even like, you wouldn't even see it inside the Bellagio. You go in there and where they check you in, there's like little cakes and chocolate covered strawberries while you wait and you can have a drink. And then there's a private elevator that takes you up. So yes, I have kind of done that somewhat, but that was also years ago though. What I'm saying is to do it now, even like Nick Cage, he's got the suit tossed on. He's ready to go, but look at him. He's yelling for his wrench, wrestling with
That's
one
right.
of his buddies.
Yeah, like, you know,
and telling him that he loves him.
Of Motley Crue, telling him, where's my wrench?
Here's my wrench.
I love you.
I love you.
But I will break your arm, like Steven Seagal.
He tries to lean in and kiss him. That's what I'm saying. Like, every guy has that image in their head of, I'm going to look like George Clooney out of Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like, I'm going to be the smoldering older guy that kills it at the club. No. You are the drunk and addled guy.
Yeah.
At 2:30, sinking an overhook onto your buddy, trying to get him in control.
Hey. My wrench! Give me my wrench!
I love it. Look, does he try to kiss him?
Dude,
he does. It gets to that weird moment where you're like, why would they cut that off? It looked like he was about to kiss him because he's like, come on, I love you. And then, but the face gets so their lips get close, or his lips get close to Vince's face. Vince doesn't seem like he's about it, but yeah, Nick seems like he's about it.
I wish the tape went on longer because it does feel like, right when it broke, then they like pushed each other away from each other and like started laughing and then high-fived and just went, show's over, and then they walked away. Like this was all a big, you know, come on or come on.
I don't think so though. Like when you get a good look at Nick Cage's face.
Yeah, he does look like he's under some sort of alcoholic duress.
Duress.
I know that.
Duress.
I have seen that in my own face.
Duress. He's not just drinking. He's under duress.
He ain't drunk. He's just drinking.
No, he's drunken. He's drunk and he's
drinking. Those two look like they would go to the Stratosphere roller coaster together? I'm feeling like that's an odd couple right there. Isn't Nicolas Cage like the son of someone, like some old codger actress? Like he didn't just
get
the gig
of,
because he was a great actor. Like he was born into this.
Yeah, let me look it up real quick. You're right about that.
And he's good enough or whatever.
No, yeah, he's good.
But every time he's good, he kind of sucks too. Like he's kind of like, it's like, why are we watching this guy?
Oh, is it Coppola? He was a Coppola.
Did he marry the Coppola that did
his Francis
Godfather
Ford
3?
Coppola was his uncle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that explains
Tilla
it.
Shire's his aunt.
Talia Shire, okay.
Talia Shire, yeah.
Oh, so, my God. Rocky Balboa's old lady is his aunt.
Yes.
Okay, right. So, and I mean, a Coppola, they've got to have mob ties, right? They just didn't, like, all of a sudden decide to start doing mob movies.
I'll let you put that out there.
Well, whatever. I'm sure that they had some insider information from growing up or whatever in the Coppola house. And so that's probably that storyline in The Godfather where Michael Corleone puts the horse head in that director's bed. It's probably very true to life. That's how Nicolas Cage got his start.
Yeah.
He got passed over for a role.
They got him in The Wild at Heart.
That's right. I mean, he's done so many horrible movies, and he's done a few decent ones, but the Ghost Rider one's horrible.
Yeah, but as privileged entertainers go, meaning people who had parents or aunts or uncles who were in the business before them, he's not bad. He's not bad. He does seem like he throws himself into a role like this love affair with Vince Neil, but he does seem to be willing to throw himself into a role.
Oh my God! Sorry, we'll fix that in post. This was the last time we had Vince on this show. This is how we have people on the show. We had Vince on just a few months ago saying goodbye. We thought this would be the end of it. Yeah. But he's just so bloaty.
This is a crazy night.
Brian.
This is the last time we'll see the four of us together on stage.
That's right. You know. I got Nick Cage's wrench. I'm leaving.
Give me my wrench! I love you.
We have four fucking missing teenagers roaming the streets of Hollywood.
He's crying. He does. He's got glistening eyes, dude.
He just may be, glistening. You know what? He may be on that U-curve. The U-curve can extend out into the 50s. It can for certain people. And if you look like now... He's had this arrested development, and now all of a sudden, maybe just you're going cold turkey. He's now all of a sudden coming out into that U curve going, oh my God, I was a Motley Crue. Is that all there is?
And now what?
Now he winds up drunk in the middle of the day.
Yeah, day drinking with Nicolas Cage.
Grappling with Nick Cage.
You want to stop this shit now?
Hey.
Give me my rake.
I think he says, get me my rake. The I love you is the best part of it. I can't really see who says it. I want to believe.
I think
Nick
it was Nicolas Cage.
I love you. Stop it!
Yes,
give me my rake.
He's almost got Vince Neil's bloated nose in his mouth as he says, "I love you."
That's what I'm saying, dude. And I looked at that video, and at one point, I thought, like, could that be us? Would there ever be? Could we? Would that be us if we went out to Vegas now? Would we have a get my rake moment? And then you would try to kiss me.
I am damn determined to find out, my friend. So
it'll be a rough trip if we do.
Getting through the 40s on Wii by diving into nerdy entertainment. I think that's the solution for us. Up next, Jones and Mike.
Have you ever listened to a radio show and thought, I could do better than that? Who hasn't? But have you ever thought about actually doing your own show? Now that seems a little more daunting for most people. Hosting your own show helps spread the word about you and your expertise, your business, product or service, charity, or any organization at all. When you have your own show, people listen to you, get the credibility, authority, and visibility you deserve. Chicago Pod Show has the studios, equipment, people, and experience to help you launch your own show almost instantly. Host a show that's heard 24/7 on iTunes, YouTube, mobile apps, websites, or even on the radio. Chicago Pod Show does it all for you. All you have to do is be the star or the expert you already are. Find out how easy getting your own soapbox can be. Visit ChicagoPodShow.com or call 312-725-8017. ChicagoPodShow.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
It's Jones and Mike. these guys are hanging it up, so we won't have them to kick around much longer. Black Sabbath,
last tour
through Chicago happens this summer. And but Merle Haggard just died this week. Everyone's dying off. So we'll be, very soon, we'll be left with Milky Chance and Imagine Dragons.
Don't forget 21 Pilots.
And 21 Pilots, Blurry Face. That's it. That'll be it. I can't wait to go to the Imagine Dragons 25th anniversary tour someday.
That's just a dark, dark, dark thought.
So we can't dive into music. We can't, I guess, go to Vegas, you're saying?
No, too old.
Yeah, we're too old for Vegas. So what if we...
We're too old for Vegas. We're just the right age to wake up depressed every day.
Yeah. Well, so I lived with a dude very briefly. Like, I found in the newspaper who needed a roommate. And I, like, at the time had a dopey radio job. And so I signed this lease with this guy for, like, 4 months. And then, like, the radio dude, like, called up and fired me, like, by phone, like, 2 weeks later. I was like, you prick! I just literally started living with someone I don't even know just to work for you. And so, and I told you this before I signed the lease. Why didn't you just fire me 2 weeks ago and save us both the headache?
Right.
You prick, you. So this guy I lived with, he was strange, man. He had his room in our apartment, his bedroom. I had a bedroom, he had a bedroom. His bedroom was adorned all over the place with Star Wars memorabilia, like still in the box figurines and stuff.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, like, you know, Lando Calrissian in a box.
Oh, God.
And, like, he was hardcore about this stuff. So he's all about Star Wars and the band Korn. And he would just, like, get in a depressive state from his IT job. He'd come home and just lay on his bed and listen to Korn and look at his Star Wars figures.
Ugh.
But there's something about that where I'm like, man, this guy, if he just has Korn and he has Star Wars, he's happy. There's something kind of cool about that. There's something admirable about that, I think. And he, right now, so now he's in his 40s, like us. He's got to be in his golden age.
Oh, I'm telling,
with his obsessions. Korn, not so much.
No.
But Star Wars, magnifique.
I'm telling, I actually, there it was a trailer this week that came out for the new Star Wars movie that people, it's probably not on their radar because they're thinking of the follow-up to The Force Awakens, but this is the Rogue One. This is a separate story.
The follow-up for The Force Awakens comes out like December of 17,
yes.
I want to say.
Yes. And I saw the trailer for Rogue One. It looks awesome. And I got jealous.
You got jealous by
because
this?
I thought, like, these young kids...
State your name for the record.
Jen Erso.
They'll get this for years and years and years now.
Imperial documents. Possession of stolen property, aggravated assault.
Yeah, like they're...
And she looks like a killer.
She's leading like a band of rogue people who are trying to get the plans for the Death Star.
Right,
and
right.
This movie is just a one-off that's supposed to be before Star Wars A New Hope, when they blow up the Death Star the
right,
first time.
Right, they get the plans that tell you where the weakness is. But I was watching it and I was just thinking to myself, like, man...
Resisting arrest.
On your own from the age of...
I mean, this
she's no Daisy, whatever, Daisy Ridley.
She's not, but she looks good when she's beating people up.
Yeah, she's killing stormtroopers like it's her business.
Yes.
I rebel.
Yeah.
And then
there's another chick looking like Aphrodite.
It just looks awesome. Just when I saw it, I was like, man, when we were young kids, when we were your son's age.
Seven.
Seven, eight, nine. When Return of the Jedi wrapped up, like, that was it.
1983.
We were 9 years old, and then that whole thing wraps up, and then nothing for 16 years. Now the kids now, The Force Awakens comes out, everybody loved it, and now it's going to be like every year or two, there's going to be some form of some kick-ass Star Wars movie that's coming out. And to a degree, it makes me sick.
It does. Look at this guy.
What will you do?
Look at this badass black stormtrooper.
Yes.
Like, he's not a white stormtrooper. He's got a black shell. They look awesome.
Yeah. Oh, no. The movie looks good based on the trailer.
Was that Forrest Whitaker?
He's in it. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker's in this? That's high line.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It looks like it's going to be awesome. And but I'm wondering,
one of his eyes went rogue years ago.
Well, it's still rogue in the movie if you
good
watch the trailer again.
All right, good.
And, oh, I thought you meant, like, because he has that one weird, like,
that's right.
You're talking about rogue. Oh, I thought
that's
you meant
right.
Rogue
one of his
when
eye-
he was looking at, like, the lady. Like,
No. You don't know what eye. If you ever meet Forrest Whitaker, you just key
know.
In between his
yeah.
eyebrows, I think.
Yeah. You just got locked into the nose. But I watched this trailer. Looks awesome. I'm jealous of, like, the youth of today that get this, like, every other year now. But at the same point, it's like, what happens? Like, where is all the hype behind this? And we even went through the YouTube video, and, like, some people were voicing a complaint, and I don't know if they were kidding or not, but that it was another female star.
No.
And I was like, no, dude, that makes it look like, if you had The Rock in that role, that would suck. Like, here's my thing on female action stars. If there was a movie that was about, he's a rogue LA cop on the mean streets, that needs to be played by a Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
If they tried to get a woman to play it and she's like just plowing through dudes and like knocking them out, I wouldn't buy that. But when you get like these action movies, these space fantasy type things or martial art type movies, like The Matrix, when they had Carrie Ann Moss, who was Trinity.
Yeah.
She was favorite character in that.
She looked like a meth head, but she was badass.
Yes. But the thing was, because she was small and slight of build, but she had to be like all of her like martial arty stuff had to be perfect for her to like subdue all these people.
They had to get somebody to, you know, kind of be even smaller than Keanu Reeves, though, I think.
I don't know. I think Keanu Reeves, he was small.
I don't know. He seemed like a pretty lithe, like, action hero. And then somehow they one-upped that by putting like a meth head and calling her Trinity next to him.
I would have to challenge you. I think in certain action films, I think Keanu comes off quite beefy.
Really? No, Johnny Utah was his high water mark in beefiness.
No,
believe
he was
me.
Beefy in what was that? What was the movie? Speed. He was beefy in Speed. Google beefy Keanu Reeves.
Oh my God!
Speed.
No, I don't want that to be on my permanent record.
Just, I'm telling you.
If there's enough, you know, weird stuff
okay,
on
we'll
my
move
history
on.
Here, beefy. Right. Keanu.
Not,
if it autofills, I'll know that you've been just typing it
right.
90,000 times.
If it's sad Keanu sad, that's different.
Dude, there is something called beefyhouse.com, and there's a tag, Keanu Reeves. Beefy's House of Fun. Oh, no. I clicked it. You probably just wrecked my machine. You
oh, I
son
love
of
it.
A bitch.
I love it. That was the whole point of this show today.
No,
the thing that I
he's
dig,
not a beefy
though,
dude, but
yeah,
next to Trinity looked like a meth head, but she was badass, and she killed a lot of people in The Matrix.
And it looks like this woman can do the same thing in Rogue One, and I think a woman in these roles looks better than a man, because when you really need to have technical ability to just subdue an opponent, it looks better on a woman than it does a man.
Yeah, I'm reading the comments in YouTube, and I'm not seeing an overwhelming amount of people being, you know, upset that there's a woman in the lead. Although Zexion 98 wants you to know, and so the milking of the cow begins. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess, yeah, there's going to be a movie every year, probably for the next 30 years. They've already made their money back. They paid Lucas like $4 billion, I want to say Disney did.
Right.
For the franchise rights. So they already made it back on the first one. So now it's all gravy. So yeah, probably we're going to get sick of this franchise eventually, but not now. Not now. It still seems pretty cool.
I say not now, not ever.
Not ever. Alex DeLarge, that's got to be your nom de plume on YouTube. I don't believe that. he writes, at 142, looks like Mark Hamill is not too happy with another 90-pound British girl being the lead either. LMAO. So there you go. So Star Wars has never had a strong protagonist. They've always had kind of a weakling or a woman. So that's kind of, it fits in with kind of the mold. Like the underdog who you
right.
least expect coming from a planet with two suns. How they don't get burned up, we have no idea.
But it was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Where the
totally
laws of
different.
Physics way different. And there are entire podcasts who will not be named here that are devoted to this stuff.
Yeah,
and they can have that.
Yes, they can have that.
They're weirdos.
But when I saw the video this week, that was the two things that I thought was I was seeing, and I probably should add that stuff ready, but I was seeing where there was negative reaction to another female lead, but then also just the outright jealousy of these kids today that can just go on and on and on with their stuff.
They don't even know how good they have it.
They don't.
Yeah, the polar caps are melting. The magnetic fields are shifting between the South and the North Poles. There may not even be an Earth if Planet X comes to fruition, as some scientists from like Cal Polytech predicted this week.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, like Planet X is real. It's on a 27 million year orbit. And if it does swoop in and come close to Earth, it's going to rain literally hellfire down upon us and extinguish us all.
Did you see the video this week that someone put together of each planet? Like if you replaced the moon and you replaced it with Pluto or Neptune or Saturn or Jupiter, how big it would look? It was either the moon or the sun. Maybe it was the sun. But how big it would look if it was as if these planets were
close.
Had to
be the moon, because the sun is, like, enormous.
Well, maybe it was the moon. But it was, they did, like, Jupiter, Neptune, Pluto, Saturn.
Sure.
And, I mean, unbelievable, where all of a sudden, once you saw the moon replaced with Saturn, you're like, oh, my God, dude. Like, it looked like it was just going to come down and just crush us.
It will take power from Earth.
Right.
It will come in and steal your wrench.
My wrench!
I love that.
And my Jimmy was deep, so deep, so deep, put her butt to sleep. Oh, my heavens. That's no way to end. That's terrible. I can't believe he got away with saying that on MTV years ago.
I can't believe it either.
That's all you need. None of this Tony Robbins stuff. You need to begin your day with Ice Cube.
I'll try.
That's it.
I'll mix it this week. This week I went with Tony Robbins. Next week I'll go with Ice Cube, and I'll see which week I feel better.
We need a control. There's got to be some way to really set this up scientifically.
Because things are good, man. I should be springing out of bed.
What could be your control week in between where you listen to, I don't know, just listen to the radio.
Kenny G.
To the regular radio. Yeah, Kenny G. There you go.
I'll do that.
Do a Kenny G week in between, and then, well, you need to record. You need to do a diary. You probably already do.
You're that
kind of guy.
I can get out of here.
So, but you need to let someone read your diary, and then we can discern if you were happier in which week. Ice Cube week, Tony Robbins week, or Kenny G week?
I just may do that. Bring it on in. See what you think.
All right. I've been dying to read your diary for years.
Yeah, I bet you have. Did it make you want to go grab your wrench?
You're the one who has my wrench? You son of a bitch. I knew it. Now I have the proof.